Amen. Well, good morning once again, church. Good to see everybody. I like to look over and see faces, some familiar, some not so much, and then some new. Hey, Ryan, how you doing, buddy? I'd like to say welcome to my good friend Ryan Ross, that also I married. So, say I married Liz, they're still together. I married Ryan, they're still together. God is good.
Yeah.
If you're looking to get married, I'm your guy. But it is a blessing to have friends and family who love you enough to come out and see you sometime. So it's a blessing to have them with us today. I won't hold you too long because I know there is food on the table. And Daddy always told me, you know, people hear you when you're talking, but they don't when they're hungry. So I'm going to get you guys out of here in a minute. If we could turn to our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 18, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Book of Jeremiah, 18th chapter. Verses 1 through 6. That's in the Old Testament, in the book of prophets. Or if you're Googling, it's J-E-R-E-M-I-A-H. Jeremiah 18, and it reads as thus. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house. And there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. Father God, we ask that you bless each and every mind here. Open our minds, open our hearts. Let us receive the word that you have for us this day, in this moment. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. There's a value to life, things that we do. And on this holiday weekend, if you were like me, I took off yesterday so I could have the good old-fashioned four-day weekend. But we are looking at our veterans. So in the theme of that, I want to bring up this idea of boot camp, right? We kind of all know what it is. Maybe we all haven't been through literal boot camp. But we understand that when you sign up to go into the service, that you have to go out for a few weeks, and they put you through the thing called boot camp, where they basically want to break down who you thought you were and build you back up into a person ready to serve their country. And in that process, they put you through a lot of things, challenges that maybe you've never been through before, so that you have to think and react in ways that you've never had to. Stress, challenge, burdens, physical, mental. But the idea is so whatever it is you thought you were, you would realize that this new thing the army or the military is going to make you into is exactly what you need to be striving to be. And so in the scripture, we see the same kind of analogy. Jeremiah is sent by God to try and warn the children of Israel. See, they've been not acting good, like they tend to do throughout the Old Testament. But they've been worshiping other gods. They've been allowing other religions to come into their kingdom. And so God has sent Jeremiah to give them a warning. And poor Jeremiah, this was pretty much his whole life. He was just running around trying to warn children of Israel that God's going to judge you and it's not going to be good. And so he tells Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house to try and give him a real life illustration of how he sees Israel, his people. And he sees the potter there. And in our lives, God is looking at us, and we're in the potter's hands, and he's trying to form us. So I want to look at three ways of how God is forming us in our lives. First, he's trying to show us that there's a victory in our value. Secondly, that there's a patience to his process. And finally, that he's the most creative of creators. See, there's a value that he wanted to show Jeremiah. Going down there and seeing this potter. And the Bible says that the potter looked at the first creation he had made and he said, you know, it's not quite to my liking. This pot is just not exactly what I wanted it to be. But he doesn't throw the pot away. He doesn't throw the clay away. It's still soft. It's still in a position where he can form it. So he just starts reforming it into what he wants it to be. But he doesn't throw it out altogether. And see, when God is looking at us, he's not trying to throw us away. He's not done with us because of the mistakes we've made in our past. He's not through with us because we beat ourselves up every single day, all the time. We never feel like we're good enough. But he's saying, I don't think like you do. Maybe you don't see your value the way God sees your value. And so that can tend to us to kind of not take full advantage of what God has given us. It's like money. Money has a value, right? Everyone puts different values on it, but it has a clear value. $1, it's $1, $5, $5, numbers. But if we don't value that idea and what it is and what it is used for, then we can kind of waste it. We can throw our money away. We can get it, but then how do we use it? How do we see it? Are we a good steward over the things God gives us? Our family, children, friends. Do we see the value in those things? Or do we just kind of take them for granted and just run over them? And in doing so, waste the time that we spend with them. And what we can get out of each and every situation. Our jobs, they can be frustrating, demanding, impersonal, but we depend on them. It requires a discipline, and there's an honor to having employment. So there's opportunities that maybe we miss if we don't value the situation that we're in. So God is looking at the children of Israel as he looks at us. And he sees our value. But he wants us to see our value. He wants us to understand that he's not done with us yet. No matter what station we're in, no matter what we've done, that he's still forming the clay. We're still in the potter's hands. So as we work to try to become more and more of what God is doing, we can't be rushed into seeing what it is that we want God to do. There's a patience required in his process. See, this potter's wheel, maybe now, you know, you might be thinking, I say potter's wheel, and maybe you're thinking the movie Ghost, or, you know, you were out last week at the craft fair over the summer, and you saw the, you know, the people, you know, and they're winding it up, and it's real fast, bam, there's this pot. Well, that's not what was happening back then. They didn't have that kind of technology. So it wasn't where he could just hit it and stir it and boom, the water, everything's perfect. They did it all by hand. So here you see this man spinning it by hand and at the same time having to craft it. It's a slow, deliberate process. And it's a process, as any artistic endeavor is, that requires the patience and the creativity to see what it is God is bringing forth. So don't rush your life thinking, I need to be here. I need to be this kind of person. And if I'm not that person, I'm just falling short all the time. I'll never be where God wants me to be. That's not the value of this journey. The journey is in each day having the patience to say, Lord, I know I'm broken. I know I'm not where you want me to be. But at the same time, I'm exactly where you want me to be because I'm here surrendering myself to you. And in surrendering myself, I allow you to form me into the form that you would have. What I want isn't always what's best. What I want and what I see isn't always the best things for me. But what God sees and what God wants for us is always exactly what we need. I reminded when I was first getting married, and probably the best part of the process, I got to go shop for a ring, right? I was excited. Get to present this ring to my wife. And you know me, I got a little extra with it. So I went and I got all knowledge about diamonds, different types of diamonds and sizes. Obviously, I was limited in what I could really look at, but I got knowledgeable about the situation anyway. And what I learned is that in diamonds, as they look through, the way they value the diamond is based on the cloudiness of the diamond, if it's too cloudy, or if there's any fractures in the diamond. These things bring down the value. Now, every diamond is hard. Every diamond has the same basic elements. But the way they see the value of it was whether it was clear or had any cracks. And I couldn't help but, when I'm sitting there with the jeweler, to think of us and how we see ourselves. Full of cracks, cloudy in our judgment, because we can't predict the future. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But yet, the elements are all the same. And so the way we see ourselves is so limited to what God actually sees who we are and what we're becoming. See, a year from now, God knows the potential of what he's bringing out in you. And it may not be something that's huge and you're thinking, oh, okay, yeah, I can see all these great things happening. It could be something deep within yourself that he's trying to resolve. Something from your childhood that was never reconciled, that's still rears its ugly head in our lives today. But it's those things that he cares about the most. It's not just the stuff on the outside, the things that we can get and gather. It's about who we are, how we make the decisions, how we treat one another. There's a patience that has to come with this process. Scripture says the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And see, God is creative in that no matter who we are, the millions and billions of people on this planet, all unique, all different, but God takes each and every one of us. And within those choices that we're making in our day-to-day, good, bad, he takes those choices and he finds creative ways to keep turning us back to him. We can do something and say, you know, I think I'm going to go out. I'm going to go fishing with my buddies today. Simple choice, not a bad thing to do. But then we get out there and maybe you're having to make some decisions that you didn't know you'd have to make. Some things happen and it gets a little out of control. Now you're saying, well, I don't know if I want to stay in this situation. But within that, within whatever framework, God will take those choices and provide an opportunity for us to see where he's working in it. I'll give you an example. When I'm reminded a few years ago, me and my father, we went to this thing they used to have called the Promise Keepers. Maybe you might have heard of it. It was a big movement, and people would go, and they were really trying to just do a radical thing for men and how they sought Jesus and thought about God in their lives. And we were going to go to one of these events, and we were going to pick up someone on the way, a good friend of his, and the guy wasn't sure, and we got to his house, and he was still kind of hemming and hawing whether he wanted to go or not. And so we sat there with him, and we were going to leave him because he just didn't seem comfortable. But then something happened where, even though he wasn't going, my father felt compelled to stay and pray with him. So we didn't even go to the event, but we sat here with this guy, and we started praying. And as we prayed with him, he started sharing a struggle that he had that he hadn't told anyone. He was struggling with an addiction. And he couldn't share it because the people around him saw him as the man in charge, as a person who was almost perfect. But in that moment of him being honest and praying about it, and this man who was a strong person just broke down in front of us, began crying because he realized he had been living a lie to those who were closest to him. And God used that. He used us, but used the moment to help him form a new him that could see and be truthful to who he was. Not who the world was saying he was, but the hard truth of what he was and what he was dealing with. And that in that truth, there was a salvation. There was a redemption. There was a forgiveness. A letting go. And in letting go, a lifting up. I don't know where you are in your life, what challenges you see, the struggles you face every day. We all have them. Things we wrestle with, things we wish we could stop. We just can't. How can we get better at this, at that? However you place your value, understand that there's a patience to what God is doing. But he's creative enough to take exactly who you are, to love that, and to bring that love to a place of redemption. All we have to do is stay in the potter's hands, keep our faith, and keep believing that God can do all things. Amen. As Liz comes forward, there's anyone who does not know that Christ is your Savior, if you're searching for a way to get through this thing called life, to claim a victory in your value, I would invite you to accept Jesus as your Savior. Or maybe you're looking for a church home, a place to set up your roots and begin a new journey in Him. I invite you to join this station of mine. Is there a one?
Let's stand and sing of the goodness of God. It's so awesome that God continues to be the potter. We are the clay, the work of His hands. And He just wants us to be beautiful. He sees us as beautiful. He sees us as finished. We know that we're not there, but we just have to surrender to the potter. Let's sing this together. You guys know this one, the goodness of God. I love You, Lord. Oh, Your mercy never fails me all of my days. I've been held in Your hands from the moment that I wake up till I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love Your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, You were close like no other. I've known You as a father. I've known You as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God all my life. All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I'll give You everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause all my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.